Well, every church I know of begins with a dream. And actually, every church I know of begins with the same dream. It's not always articulated with the same words. It's not always expressed the same way. But it is a dream, and it is the same dream. The dream behind the beginning of every church I know is to live up to Pentecost. To live up to that experience on that day in Jerusalem when the Spirit came like tongues of fire and descended upon the disciples. And the thing that captures the imagination of Christians in future generations from then with us would be the fact that the church went from what? Maybe 50, maybe 100 people. We have the 11 disciples, and we know that there were women in the group because they're the ones who went to the grave to anoint the body of Christ and were surprised by a resurrection. So there are a few others, but how many? 50. Maybe 100. And at the end of the day, there were over 3,000 people participating in the life of the church. From 100 to 3,000. And every church I know of starts with the expectation that we will be like that. We will be like the church at Pentecost. We may not see I think it's an irrepeatable miracle of Pentecost. It's a one-time event, but we'll see something like it where the Spirit will be at work in us and we will be the one church that will be the beacon. We'll be the church that will just attract dozens or hundreds or thousands of people. And while other churches may fall away, we'll be the church. We'll be the church that is known for doing it right. We'll be known as the church where the Spirit is present and where Christ is proclaimed and the results are visible. Now, I see this in the names of churches. I admit I'm a preacher, so I pay attention to all the names of churches that when I drive by, if I'm out in the country or if I'm in town, I like to see what people are calling their churches. And if you're driving out in the country, I remember one time I saw on one side of the road, there was a little white sideboard church, Salem Baptist Church. And I bet I hadn't gone a quarter of a mile, and on the other side of the street was a little red brick building that was New Salem Baptist Church. And I don't think it's too hard to imagine what that conversation went like. You know, those people, they're at Salem, they don't really want to do the Lord's work, so we're going to start New Salem. And we're going to do it right. We're going to be what they've never turned out to be. And I know I've seen that type of thing numerous times in my life. Or one that I see sometimes on my way when I go cycling, God's Way Baptist Church. I can hear how that discussion went. Well, these other churches, they're doing it man's way. We're going to do it God's way. We're going to do it God's way, and it's going to be right. And when I say this, I know that everybody who has this dream is attempting, under the guidance of the Spirit in their lives at that moment, to be faithful. But when you see what the work has come to after 20 or 30 or 40 years, and it's really not much different than it was when it started, you realize just how hard it is to maintain that sense of the Spirit of God being at work and becoming a church that lives up to Pentecost. Now, today, the names have gotten a whole lot more catchy. You know, you'll see like Resurgence Church or Recharge Church, and you can hear those conversations. Well, there's not much there, so Spirit's going to come in here and we're going to move. And there are typically churches that are more effective than others. But every church begins with the dream. We're going to live up to Pentecost. We'll be one. If there's only one, it'll be us. If there are a few, we'll be one of the few. But that's what we're going to do. Now, it would be easy to preach on the main Pentecost text, but I chose to skip over and to preach about the church at Antioch because I believe the church at Antioch is often overlooked when we study the book of Acts. And at the church at Antioch, they actually, I think, live up to Pentecost, even though they are, you know, to us it just sounds like, well, you know, they could have driven to Harrison County. This is a long way. This is a change of continents. And they have gone a long way. But if it weren't for the church at Antioch, when the poor, impoverished Jewish Christians around Jerusalem were starving, it's the church at Antioch that creates the offering that is able to go back. It's what Paul spends so much of his life doing. And while it was Jerusalem where Jesus was crucified, it is Antioch where they're first called Christians. And while it is Jerusalem where Jesus stands on the mountain opposite the city and says, "Go ye therefore into all the world," it is from Antioch that people actually went. They sent the first missionary. And this church, if you read through the sweep of the book of Acts, by the time we come to the passage that Tommy read for us just a few moments ago, the entire center of gravity of the early church has moved from Jerusalem to Antioch. Antioch has become the place where the work of the Spirit is most evident. And so if I'm looking for a church that lives up to Pentecost, and I want to see what could my model be, I look at Antioch because they did it. And the things that I see at Antioch are this. They dreamed a dream big enough. In my circle of pastoral peers, the language we have come to use is, they dreamed a God-sized dream. Some dreams are just too easy for the church. There are plenty of organizations to do the possible. But it falls to the church, by the aid of the Holy Spirit, to do what appears impossible. And the church at Antioch thought, we can take up an offering that will feed all the poor in Judea, and we can send missionaries to the ends of the earth, and we're just this little group here in this place. And they did it. They dreamed a God-sized dream. And I think that churches who ever hope to live up to the spirit of Pentecost have to think big enough. They have to allow God to come in and inspire. Let's not set our sights too low. The second thing they did was they looked outward. Now, that may not sound like a big deal, but in my experience, many churches at some point turn to an inward focus. The focus becomes on those of us here. It becomes on survival. I remember the first time I was a part of a really growing church, and there were just people coming every Sunday. I was a college student, and they're coming every Sunday, and there's new faces. And I heard this woman walks down the aisle, and she looks at a friend, and she says, "Well, it's just a shame not to be able to find a seat in your own church." And the tone of voice was like, "Get these people out of here. I want my seat back." And I thought, you don't get this? You don't get that this has been an outward focus and that people are now coming? And people who dream a God-sized dream look beyond who we already are to who we could be. If what we have is a significant expression of the life of Christ in this community, then aren't there dozens, if not hundreds, of other people in this community who could use the same? If we find fellowship and strength, and if we find encouragement when there's something in our lives that are amiss, and there we know that there are 20 people praying for us, now in strength, you know, emboldened and strengthened, we feel. Aren't there others who would want to feel that as well? So the goal, if we want to live up to Pentecost, is to look out. Look out beyond the walls. To look out beyond the walls and to see what it is we need to be doing. And of course, this is a sermon, so there's going to be a third thing. And the third thing is, they recognize they didn't do this on their own. But they are partners with the Holy Spirit. I believe, and I have seen this in church, I have seen this in people, that self-reliance is an incredible virtue. But it only works in certain areas of life. Self-reliance is something I think that we ought to teach our children, that we ought to, you know, nurture in our own lives, but there are places where self-reliance won't work. And if you're dreaming a God-sized dream, doing it under our own power will not do it. Because if it's truly a God-sized dream, the only one that can accomplish this is God through the Spirit in us. And that's what we see in the church at Antioch, is allowing the Spirit to bubble up in creativity. We have no idea. It is so hard to get into the skin of those people and recognize what a novel idea it was to send missionaries. But in just a chapter or so, they're going to send Saul, or change his name to Paul, Paul and Barnabas, to go out into all the world. Well, we take that for granted because we grew up with things like WMU and all the mission emphasis. But this was an absolutely novel, creative idea. But it took the Spirit to bring it up, to send it forth. And so what I would say, we're at a critical junction as a church. You know, please don't do what someone in another church did and said, you know, we're looking for a real pastor. I'd like to think of it as you're looking for a permanent pastor. That really hurts my feelings when people say that. But we're in this juncture of looking for a permanent pastor. And the search committee, I think last week, if you were in the event in the fellowship hall, we've kind of past a juncture in that process where a lot of it has been preparation, and now we're looking. We're coming out of COVID, and things have been one way, and now we're trying to roll back up into new things. But things have changed. The way people participate, you know, the way you shop. Do you shop the same way that you did before COVID? I don't. I was thinking about going to Costco the other day, and I thought, why bother? And I pulled out my phone, I ordered everything I wanted, and I was done. And people think worship is an on-demand experience. It has changed. Sure, we're glad. I mean, I'm glad everybody's here, but a lot of people, I watch it Tuesday night. The kids are gone on Tuesday night. I'll watch it on Tuesday night. So there comes a challenge of how to address the gospel to this digitally changing world. And I will tell you, these things will not be done on our own. But they can be done. They can be done because the same Spirit that was available to the disciples at Pentecost, the same Spirit that was evident in the church at Antioch, is available to us. And if we will but allow the Holy Spirit of God to come and work in and among us, to empower us and push us and help us create and do, who knows? Who knows what's possible? The meditation today is one that has always struck me. Luke Timothy Johnson, in his book, The Creed, he just talks about how they had nothing. You know, their circumstances were poor, but their claims were great. They were isolated, beleaguered, disliked. It was a tiny sect of Judaism centered on an executed criminal having no claim to power of any sort. And yet, from the first, the believers made cosmic claims. They were to witness to the ends of the earth and make disciples of all nations. The world was theirs. The same Spirit that told them the world was theirs. What does it tell us? Shall we pray? Oh God, we have seen evidence of your Spirit in other times, other locations, other ways. And we pray that even now, not waiting for our permanent pastor, but even now, would your Spirit come and work in us. Give us a dream that represents your dreams for this church and this community. And make us capable to do what you want done. In the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.